Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for your mercy, for your grace, for your faithfulness, and your love towards us. Father, we are grateful. You are the maker, the creator of the universe. Father, you know the end from the beginning. You know us that you have created, and you know exactly how to manifest your desires and your purposes in our life and even in the earth. So, Father, we thank you for this season and this moment you've given to us to wait upon you so we can know your ways. And, Father, as we know your ways, we are able to know you better, to understand you, and to be able to please you more in our life. Father, we thank you that even as you cause this to happen for us, because we desire it with all our heart, we pray, God, that you cause us to wait upon you, that we might not do things outside of your will, that we will always trust that you will lead us and go before us, that we will not go or do things on our own strength. Father, we thank you also, even as your servant Moses prayed, we want to see your glory. We want to be transformed. We want to be changed into the very image of your Son, that we can truly reflect you where we live in this world. Father, thank you for the hunger, the desire is put upon everyone on this line. Thank you so much for your grace that has been upon their life. Father, thank you for just their willingness and desire to press into the things of your kingdom. Father, I pray that you continue to reward your people. Strengthen us, O God, that we might truly be a fruit that will last and that we might truly make a difference as we wait upon you for your glory in this generation. So thank you, Father. We again depend on your spirit of truth as you open our understanding, O God, to know your ways and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We again will continue to thank God for you all, and we thank God for the grace he's given us for us to learn together and just to hear together what the Spirit of the Lord is enable us to understand, and we give him all the glory. The area we have been praying into this season is, like we have mentioned over and over, is what will make a man like Moses, who have spent 40 years learning the ways of the world in Egypt and was to be the prince to the throne. And after 40 years, he now was taken into the wilderness, where he spent another 40 years learning, being broken to be able to serve the intentions of God. And then went to Egypt, saw miraculous move of God, brought millions of people out of bondage through the power of God, saw unbelievable miracles, and now in the wilderness about to serve another 40 years, just came out of a major experience with God in the mountain where he came down, the children of Israel has made a golden calf. He destroyed the tablets that God gave to him. And after all this experience, we're now in Exodus 33, where now Moses went back to the tent and where the cloud of the Lord came. And here Moses again was encountering God and was praying at this point and this season in his life, praying these prayers that, God, I want to know your way, that I might know thee. And then he says, after that he prayed, God, if your presence don't go with me, don't take us any further. And then he prayed in verse 18, Exodus 33, verse 18, he says, I plead with you, I beseech you, Lord, show me your glory. And verse 19, and he said, the Lord said unto him, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And it says, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall you not see. So in verse chapter 34 from verse 5, it says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. That's when he went up to the mountain. And the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by. That's the glory of the Lord, the tangible manifestation of the glory of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercies to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins. And then verse 8, you know, continued, and in verse 8 it says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. So we've been looking at these prayers, and you know, when you pray, God will begin to respond. And so some of the things that the Lord is showing with us are some of the, God is showing us, taking us a little bit deeper here and there on his ways, that so we are knowing him a little bit better. And sometimes he's teaching us how not to get ahead of him. That way we know that his presence is going before us, and then his glory. So I never knew what area God will be leading us, but these are the three areas that God is answering our prayers and helping us to know him better and to walk with him. Today, there's an aspect of this. We are going to look at the glory of God. Like you all know, the glory of God is the character of God manifested. It's the character of God manifested. Obviously, you can see from the life of the children of Israel, all the miracles that God did not change their character, you know, except those who truly meditated on what God was doing. And you can see that all this led to why Moses said, God, I really need to know you. How will you do all these miracles? How will you do all these wonders? How will you bring us this far? And I just went away for just 40 days, and the people have turned their back and they are worshiping the idols of Egypt. Aaron, my right-hand man, the very only person I would have trusted with these people, created the golden calf for them. I mean, how is it that you could handle this? Just 40 days being away, and all these things you've done never changed your heart, you know, enough for them to serve you. So I really want to know you. So all this stuff is just causing Moses to cry out, I want to know you. So we see that it was the glory of the Lord that eventually, when Moses experienced it, it changed his countenance. And Paul referred to the glory of God in 2 Corinthians 3 about the life of Moses. He says, if Moses experienced that in the Old Testament and was changed, how much more we? So as we behold him, we are transformed from glory to glory into the very image of Christ. So we see that the glory of the Lord brings transformation in our lives. So today, we are looking at the glory of the Lord. Last week, we looked at one of the, you know, is the glory of the Lord in terms of his character in the area of meekness, in the area of humility. And then we were comparing it to the pride, you know, which is the character of Satan. And we looked at how that, God, that establishes the ways of God and the ways of this world. But today we are going to also look at the glory of the Lord. This particular area is, everything to do with the character of God is a mystery. It's so deep, and God has to, you know, we will never exhaust it. We'll just be taking from glory to glory. The love of God summarizes everything that God is, love. And in Galatians chapter 5, Love, he started describing that love is joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, temperance, you know, meekness, you know, all these things he was describing as the fruit of the Spirit. So here in Exodus, as Moses in the Old Testament was a spirit, God said, I'm going to show you my glory now. And God showed him his glory, and it happens to be his character. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercies, you know, just forgiveness and all. Today, we want to look at this aspect of the glory of God, the character of God that is being manifested in our lives. This aspect of God's character, most of the time, it is manifested through the trials, we go through. This character is born in us. And this area we want to look at is so deep, we might not exhaust it tonight, but by God's grace we'll touch it, is the area of the long suffering of God. It's so deep, it's so simple, but it's so deep. And it's one of the most trying areas of all our lives. For me, it has been probably the biggest, most trying areas of my life. And that's the area of patience, you know, which is long suffering. The book of James says, it says the trying of our faith, the testing of our faith, is like gold tried in the fire, you know. It says after we've been tested, it says that the trying of our faith produces patience. It says let patience have its perfect work, that we will be patient and entire, lacking nothing. That last aspect of we will be patient, that patience will have its perfect work, is the word to manifest long suffering. To manifest long suffering. Long suffering is not a bad word. It has suffering in it, so it looks like it's really bad. But it's really the fruit of God's Spirit. But it really describes itself. It's not anything that is God's character is full of glory. But this one can be easily misunderstood because it has suffering in it, long suffering or long patience. But it's really one of the most desirable aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. So we want to look at this a little bit because it is such a key. When we understand this aspect in our lives, it really helps us a lot, a lot. In marriages, in raising up children, in our job places, every aspect of life, if you get a grip, a revelation of long suffering, you can endure a lot. You can go a long way before you see, you know, before you can be overwhelmed by circumstances. So let's just begin with reading a few scriptures that will point us towards the direction of this aspect of the glory of God that is being revealed in our lives. So first, let me read. Let's begin with the book of Matthew. I have quite a few scriptures to read tonight. Let me open to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, I'll start from there. And Jesus, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Will thou then that we go and gather up this, gather them up? But he said, No, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. Amen. That's one scripture. Let me read another scripture here. This is in Hebrews chapter 6. I read from verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful or sluggish, but followers of them who through faith and patience, which is long suffering, inherit the promises. And then he emphasized something about the promises of God here, meaning the word of God. He says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after Abraham had patiently endured, that's long suffering, he obtained the promise. For men truly swear by the greater, and an oath by confirmation is to them an end of strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, all of us, the immutability of his counsel, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure, steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's another scripture. These all scriptures are saying the same thing now, and it's all about this attribute of the glory of God, character of God called long-suffering. I want to read another scripture. This is in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to read. It says, beloved, from verse 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not in any way slack about his promises, but that all should come to repentance, because he's unchangeable changer. Amen. Now I want to read another one more scripture. before we start looking at this whole thing. This is also in the book of, let me read 1 Peter before this one. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, I'll read from verse 19 and 20. 1 Peter 3, 19 and 20. Says, for Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water, when Noah was building the ark. And then let's read this other aspect, and then I think we're done with reading, and then we'll look at a few things. Habakkuk. This was the days Habakkuk was, he was one of the last prophets in the Old Testament during the Babylonian captivity. Habakkuk was, just for time, Habakkuk, if you read from verse 1, was so frustrated. He was so frustrated because he saw the worst of the nations holding Israel captive. And Israel was going through a such painful experience. And Habakkuk could not understand why God would allow the wicked to oppress the righteous for that long. So it was then, as Habakkuk was crying and praying, and God was waiting upon the Lord, and God spoke to him in Habakkuk chapter 2. And the Lord said to Habakkuk, and the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For their vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, in God's season, you will reap if you faint not. Amen. And then you see the two major stories that Jesus told in the area of prevailing prayer. The story in Luke 18 about the widow woman asking for justice from a wicked judge. He did not get an answer. The word God used there says, if God will suffer long with you, you know, for a season, you know, but he will avenge speedily. And he used that woman's example, say God is looking for this kind of faith, meaning perseverance. And then the friend at midnight, the person knocking on the door, God used the same illustration. He says, the door did not open because they are friends, he said, but because of his importunity, meaning enduring, waiting, persevering, knocking, meaning the waiting and the pain that comes with waiting, the patience, the enduring, the long suffering that comes through that process. Amen. So putting all this together, what is Moses praying that God will show to him? You know, my brothers and sisters, our gifts are very, very, God can bless us with gifts and pour amazing gifts upon us, like Moses experienced and like great men of God experienced. But our character can make that gift completely useless in God's hands. and can literally turn that gift against God himself, just like Satan did, or even turn that gift inwardly towards our self-promotion, or that can destroy us because our character cannot really sustain the influence that grief brings into our life. So, one of the ways that God manifests, you know, his glory in us, his nature in us, is through various circumstances. And these circumstances in our life, many times we are crying for God to, how long is it going to last? When are we going to, you know, like Paul was crying, God, take this away from me, God, this. God says, I won't take it. My grace is sufficient for you. We see all these things in the Bible, but we wonder, what does this really mean? Because it's a very deep mystery. We all go through it. I go through it. God, why is it some areas, some things you can pay the rent, you can pay this, but some areas to do with visions and dreams and great deep promises and things to do with the call of God on our life, it just looks like those things take forever. Some desires of our lives, it looks like it takes forever. And we say, God, but why? And we're praying and we're fasting and we're waiting. So that's what all those things produce is this aspect of God's character called long-suffering. God long-suffering. So what is long-suffering? Long-suffering is really that aspect of the nature of God's character that allows us or gives us the ability to wait upon God until the timing of God for everything God has purposed in our lives comes to, for the timing of anything that God wants to do, we come in perfect alignment with that timing. Long suffering is the grace that we walk in that helps us not to be ahead of God, not to be behind, but to be right on the same page with him. Long suffering is that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that allows us to endure, overcome our own timing and expectation in our hearts until it's God's timing. Long suffering is that aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that literally, if there's anything Satan cannot handle, is long suffering. He cannot really manipulate people who have manifested that aspect of God's character, because long suffering is a place where we actually can begin to experience, if God stops, we stop. If he moves, we move. We don't get ahead of him. He doesn't get ahead of us. We are always led by the Spirit. That's that aspect of God's character where we are always on the same page with God, which is not easy to come by, which is not easy to. So how do we understand long-suffering? Let's look at a few scripture we just read on God's part. It says that God is not slack towards his promises, but that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Then we read the example that Jesus gave about the long-suffering of God in sowing and reaping. It says, the kingdom of God is like a man that puts seed, good seed on the ground. So God has already planted his plan. God has his purpose. The seed is there. The vision has been put in your heart. The dream has been put in your heart. God has purposed it. His word has gone forth. It will never return void. So you receive this vision. You receive this dream like Abraham, like we read about Abraham. You receive the promise. The seed has been sown. And then it says, an enemy sows another seed. Is, you know, and then these two are growing. It says, as they started growing, all of a sudden, you see signs of the seed of the enemy in your field. And then the servant is saying, let's just take it out. Let's just remove it. Let's just take care of this thing now. Let's just deal with it. Let's take it out. But God says, no, don't take it out. Now, look at what God says. It's not time to deal with it. He says, it's what the enemy has planted. It's something that is there in the field, is there. You're waiting for breakthrough. You're waiting for God to do something. But this aspect is still there. It's not gone. And God, it's like, why is it not going away? And God says, wait. Why would God tolerate something like that for so long? He said, wait until the harvest time. Long suffering, God is here waiting in the midst of all these things until harvest time. Until the time the seed that he wants to really bring forth is ripe in the midst of this. Long suffering is what makes God God. God knows the end from the beginning to the end. God cannot be moved. There is nothing that takes him by surprise. So long suffering is that aspect of the nature of God that causes God to wait until the time he has set for everything to be done. For example, we read about Noah. It says that God spoke to Noah in chapter 6. He says, I have seen the earth is corrupt, is wicked, you know, is to be destroyed at that time. But then God spoke to Noah because he wanted to redeem the earth. He says, here he says, build the ark. Noah, being human, took almost 100 years building this huge ark. And the Bible, we just read it in Peter, it says, when the long suffering of God waited while the ark was in making. So God waited. He knew that it would take Noah that long to build the ark. So he put a thing in place to give man time to repent, or to give enough time for men to see the evil of their ways. So Noah's extended long time of building that ark was a way of God giving man 100 years opportunity to repent so that none of them perish. But at the same time, showing man the degradation of the human self. And then after Noah prepared the ark, then that was when God, Noah was able to enter the ark, and God delivered Noah and his family, and that's why we're here today. So it says the long suffering of God waited. So what does that mean? Meaning God was looked at the evil that was happening, but in it he saw the fruit, he saw Noah's righteousness, he saw the future, and Noah was like a seed in the midst of the earth. And God had to wait until that ark was complete, everything was matured, for the earth to be redeemed through the life of Noah and his children. And then God destroyed the earth. Again, look at the long suffering of God to show you the long suffering of God, that God knows the end from the beginning. And that's the same character he wants to manifest in us, and we'll get to that very soon. Is God spoke to Abraham years before, down the road. He said, I'm going to give you a promise, and your children are going to inherit this land. This is my covenant with you. You're going to have seed, and your seed will inherit this land. But before they inherit this land, they're going to go through a strange land. They will be there for 400 years. God already knew they will be there for 400 years. So when we look back and see the children of Israel after the days of Joseph, they were in Egypt 400 years in bondage. God already knew what that generation would go through. He knew what they would pass through. And then, when the 400 years was coming to an end, he sent Moses, and then Moses brought them out. So God knew what he's done, what it would take for the children of Israel to come out, and he also knew exactly the timing, and he was able to watch and endure. You know, the long suffering of God waits until the promise comes. Another way you can see the long suffering a little bit in our physical human self is a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman gets pregnant. He just cannot be so excited about a child and said, okay, good, I'm going to have the child tomorrow. No matter how happy the pregnant woman is, something must take place to cause that child to become mature to be born. And regardless of the excitement and the pain the woman goes to the inconvenience, the uncomfortability, the woman has to wait until that child is ripe. By nature, that woman has to wait. And that waiting is long suffering for that woman. Because she wants that child so bad, but she has no choice. She has to wait until the nature's time. And that's the way God has ordained things. Look at, God wrote the book of Revelation 2,000 years ago. He has seen every evil that will happen. He has seen everything that will happen. But then he's also put the breakthroughs, the solution, all that. You know, he showed Nebuchadnezzar the dream of nations, what will happen to Israel and how they will rise and fall. And then the book of Revelation, all the evil that we're seeing today, what will happen. But in the end, he still talks about the redemption of the earth and what he's going to do for 1,000 years and all. So God sees all this and he waits and he watches these things unfold and he watches the fruit come and he watches the tares be destroyed, you know, in their generation. So the long suffering of God, all the way from Genesis, he finished his work. And God now just allows, you know, not that God allows this evil, but he's just showing us the degradation of the human self. When you turn it loose, this is what self will become. This is what self will turn to. This is what the human nature looks like. I just want you to see it, you know, and then this is what those who aspire, those who desire the things of God will look like. Nothing can stop them. They will come out glorious. They will come out as wheat. They will come out victorious because these are my children and these are the children, the seed of Satan. So the long suffering of God is that aspect of God's nature that allows him to wait for everything that has come out of his mouth to happen in their season, in their time, while he manifests the purpose and the glory of his purpose in the earth. Another example in the area of prayer is sometimes we don't know it, but God knows it. But sometimes God can show us in dreams or visions. But there's the life of this man, his name is Zechariah. He did not know, just like most of us. Abraham knew because God spoke to him about his promise. Joseph knew because he had a dream, you know. But Zechariah did not know. But there were prophecies that was pertaining to Zechariah's life. He didn't know it has anything to do with him. It's in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. It's in the book of Malachi chapter 3. These are prophecies, but he didn't know it was going to be anything pertaining to him. But this man and his wife were faithful warriors. They were committed to prayer. They were righteous people. Zechariah was in charge of burning incense. Faithful men of God, the Bible says they were righteous and blameless. Nothing wrong with them. They're not in sin. But for some reason, the wife was barren. And the reason is, you know, God endures with long suffering. He didn't want Zechariah to have just a normal child. Zechariah carried destiny upon his life. The wife's womb carried destiny. And the prophetic destiny was, they didn't know they would be the one to give birth to John the Baptist, the forerunner that will come before Jesus Christ. So they didn't know. But the way Zechariah was getting offended in his heart, which was revealed when the angel came. So because of the misunderstanding of this fruit of the Spirit, in the area of waiting on the word, on the promises of God, many times, many of us lacking the understanding of this, we give up, we faint, we complain, we murmur, we begin to envy others, we begin to get frustrated. These are the aspects, when we don't understand it, it creates serious frustration. I've seen it in my life. It brings serious frustration about why is God waiting? Why is this not happening? Why didn't God do that? Why did, you know, why am I not, you know. So all these things are because God is birthing long suffering in us, but because we don't understand it, we don't know this aspect of the way of God and this aspect of the glory of God, and we just think it's us, or it's something we're doing wrong, or it's something we're not doing right. And Zechariah was in that position. He was angry with the angel doubting what even the angel said. This is the timing for you to receive this thing that you prayed for and God has released. There's this aspect of long-suffering in prayer. Daniel was praying, and the angel Gabriel came and said, while you started praying, the word of the Lord has come. And you all know that story. There was a war in the spiritual realm. But Daniel was endued with long-suffering, with patience. He tarried, and the breakthrough came. So that's the reason why these parables are given about the wheat and the tares. It's a principle. That's why Peter also said God is not slack concerning his promises. That's why he's mentioned again. He says, God is not forgetful towards your good work of love, towards your faithfulness in prayer. You know, God is a rewarder of those who diligently. All these promises, God has not failed you. God has not forgotten you. God is very mindful of everything you're doing. But it's this aspect. He says the testing of our faith is to manifest this place of long suffering. So that when we have this long suffering, he says we have everything. We are entire lacking nothing. Meaning we now begin to walk with God in such confidence, such persuasion that God was talking about Abraham, that we now know that we are one with the promises of God. It's unchangeable, it's immutable. We have this hope that God cannot fail us. And we are able to anchor our, every word of God becomes an anchor. So our soul, we're not going to and fro, bouncing here and there, questioning the integrity of the character of God pertaining to his word. Long suffering is what removes all those questioning about the integrity of the word of God, about the truthfulness, about the immutability, about a God who is so great, who is so mighty. But why do we go to and fro, up and down? It's nothing but lack of patience. The fear that comes when we think time is running out. The fear that comes when we think, you know, some people want to get married. They are feared, you know, they won't get married when God has promised them. Or some people want to have children. You know, we become desperate. We begin to, you know, lose confidence. So what God was saying about Abraham, about that promise was, let us be followers of those who through faith and patience, long suffering. When we have the fruit of long suffering, we come to a place in our lives where all of a sudden we are becoming unmovable. Our soul is so anchored that we are persuaded that everything God has promised will come to pass. We don't go by what we see, like Abraham, Sarah's womb dying. That will not faze us anymore because we know God has spoken. It doesn't go by what we've lost. We know God has spoken. It doesn't go by Joseph with his dream looking in a negative direction. We know that God has spoken. So the fruit of long suffering, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is the aspect of God's character that makes God himself, when he has spoken about the book of Revelation, he sits and he just watches it come to pass. And he says a thousand years is like a day to him. He can do in a day what can take place in 1,000 years. And he can take 1,000 years, stretch something 1,000 years to make it happen. What we are waiting for, what you are waiting for, if you are faithful, if you allow this process of God to be fulfilled, God can do in one day what you are expecting to do in 100 years. God can do in an instant what you are believing him to. For 30 years, you will not be able to do. Look at Joseph. Look at Abraham. Look at all the people in the Bible. When God started moving in their life, they saw things happen in instant they would not have even done for a long time in their lives. Amen? So the long suffering that God produces in us is the character and the ability to wait on God's timing. It's not easy. It's impossible by nature for us. Nobody can wait on God's timing. You can look at all the people in the Bible. Timing is a big issue for every one of us. It's the most frustrating issue for me. So as we're saying, God, show me your glory, show me your way, God is saying, my long suffering. I am patient. I am long suffering. You know, I can wait, you know, and give the wicked enough time to repent. Because I don't want the wicked to perish. And I can do something in a day that you'll be thinking, you've been waiting for 1,000 years to happen. I'll bring that blessing. So in the area of visions and dreams, it takes that waiting. He said, wait for it. It will not fail. Wait for it. In other words, have long suffering. Have patience. Amen. It's a fruit of the Spirit. God is taking away things in our life. God is killing things that are not supposed to be there. And God is allowing the fruit and the nature and the character of God to manifest. One of the most powerful reasons for covenant is also to manifest long suffering. Especially the reason God has given us ability, one, to for marriage. Marriage is one of the biggest tests of long suffering, love. God put two people together knowing that there will be disagreement, there will be conflicts of understanding, there will be miscommunication and misunderstanding, there will be just mindsets, but it allows the two of them to build their relationship on one thing that is solid, which is love. So how does that love manifest in both of them? It is through the trying of their faith in the area of patience for one another. That's why that aspect of the love of God, love is not an empty thing. The characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13 says, love bears all things. It bears. It endures all things. It believes all things. Meaning, long suffering is the ability to forbear until you see change in your wife or your. And long suffering is the ability, you're praying for your son. You prayed, God believes it, and you're standing. And then you go up and down, doubting, worrying because the son is out there, he's doing things he's not supposed to do. You almost lose. Long suffering is the story of the prodigal son leaving home. The father waited while he's praying. Long suffering is the expression of absolute confidence in the word of God. That God's word will never fail. You have come in perfect agreement with the vision, with the word, that it does not matter how long it takes. You know that what God has spoken will come to pass. That's long suffering. But it's not something that is our nature. So that's why the trials we went through, the waiting process, all these stuff is what produces long suffering. Amen? It's a manufacturer of patience in our life. And when we come to this place of patience, it says we will lack nothing. Meaning now we are in partnership with God at a level where we are not moved by what we see. Our faith is now solid because we have manifested the fruit of waiting on God regardless of the circumstances and where things look. Amen. So as we look at America today, as we look at where the nation is going, it's not taking God by surprise. God already knows where he's taking America. God is just giving a long rope to the enemy. Like I read about the wheat and the tares. If you look at that story, the angels were even saying, let's deal with this evil. Let's deal with it. He says, no. You destroy the righteous and the wicked at the same time. Just give it time. And so he's watching all this stuff, but he already knows how he's going to harvest this nation, how he's going to turn things around. All these things are known by God. So as we wait in prayer, he reveals these things to us. Amen. So today, I just want to encourage us as we're praying. The reason why Moses was crying is, Moses, my God, you are this patient with us, with this much evil. You brought us out of Egypt. Here we are building a golden calf right at your feet, causing you to your face, doing this perversion right at your mountain, and we are still alive. I just want to know what kind of God you are. I want to know your character. You know, when we just ask you, forgive us, and you forgive. Something wants to happen. You said, I'm going to do this, bring this, and we repent, and you just forgive. And then you forbear with us until. I just want to know what this character looks like. So I pray that God will begin to reveal this area more in our lives, especially in our job. Some of us can't keep a job for a long time. Why? We cannot endure pain. We cannot endure miscommunication. We cannot endure strife. We cannot endure wickedness enough. You know, we can't. He says Jesus suffered, you know, to learn obedience. And many of us, we can pray. The anointing is there. But then when we are going through some sufferings in the areas of obedience, we can endure. You know, we can wait. What is happening in churches today? People are quitting, churches are splitting, because people that are planted, they cannot endure enough to allow the roots to get deep in the love of God, to be grounded in the love of God through suffering, to die into self, to die into these negative characters we have, and aspect, so that we can be rooted in the character of the patience and the long-suffering of God. So my brothers, love is not an empty word. Somebody can say, I love you, I love you, I love you don't mean anything. You show love. One of the attributes of showing love is to be patient with people. Be long-suffering. No matter what they are going through, listen. No matter what they are going through, wait. Be patient. Pray. Be patient with your children. Be patient with your husband. Be patient with your wife. Be patient. These are the attributes of God's character. And that's what matters more than anointing that just comes today and tomorrow is not there. So I pray that these things will guide us, especially as we look at the nation, we look at the evil. Once we have long suffering, we're not going to act out of anger, out of frustration, out of timing, because God has a plan, and we want to be in his plan, in his timing, and in the period of his harvest. So we'll keep learning on these areas, and I pray that these things we're learning is not just going to be words, but let all of us embrace this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that makes us appreciate one another and bear with one another until at least the negative areas of our lives have been worn out and all we have is this powerful love for one another. Amen. So Father, I just thank you so much that you've not called us to be Christ-like for nothing. Father, we were not born with this patience for one another. We cannot stand evil. We cannot tolerate the things we don't like about one another. But Father, you've allowed us to be in this world, to be families, to be married, to have children, because you just want us to learn how to be patient, how to endure, how to put up, how to forbear until we see the changes we're praying for manifested. So thank you so much for the endurance of everyone on this line that have been praying for America, praying for Nigeria, praying for our people, praying for their family. Father, give us this patience, knowing that you are faithful to reward us with breakthroughs in your time. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.